Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. This is episode number 176. My name is Brooke Taylor, and I want to say right out of the box, a howdy hello to the ladies of St. John Vianney Parish in Mentor, Ohio, located on the shores near Lake Erie. I had a chance to speak to these, just such a fantastic group over the weekend, and I met Laura, a mom of 10, and what a great opportunity to connect with her afterwards. Emma May, who's about to celebrate her 80th birthday. My dear friends, Pastor Linda, Isaiah, my friend Vicky from our Arise team were also there as support. So for Mother's Day weekend, it was like the best. It was a grace. It was a gift. And just a big thank you again to those ladies, to that parish, to Father John, who I had a chance to meet. And next up is the Magnify Conference. So that's going to be on June 1st. It's a Saturday. It's in California. It's in a city called Tracy, California. But what I love about this event is the invitation I noticed is being extended to girls from the age of 12 and older. Isn't that great? So moms, daughters, grandmas, girlfriends, groups, everybody. And there will be reconciliation, adoration, holy mass. And so my friends on the West Coast, for you, this is it. Would love to see you. And again, it's Saturday, June 1st. It's a ladies event, and I will link up the event on the show notes, but you can also go to the website. It's worldablaze.com for more information. And on today's show, the final countdown, I've been singing that song, and all I know is that, just the chorus, because the main event is almost here. I've been dreaming about it. I've been praying about it. My heart races every time I think about it. The Cleveland Marathon, running 26.2 miles, something I always believed was totally out of reach for me as a runner my entire adult life. It wasn't something I even dreamed of because I didn't think I could ever complete a full marathon. But on May 19th, God willing, that will all change. And it has been quite an adventure. And I just want to thank you for being a part of it with me. Something that you'll hear coming up in the show today, this isn't a solitary effort. And I so feel that, and that's really been a wonderful part of the process as well. And a paradox for me personally, where something so depleting could bring such restoration, something so emptying could leave my spirit so full, and the act of breaking down, feeling like I'm breaking down, that could somehow be healing. And it has been. And even thinking about around Christmas time, rehabbing my knee, having this injury, that hasn't even been an issue. I mean, that's phenomenal to me. That in this marathon training, it hasn't even come to factor. So just a lot of lessons that I'm still processing. And I'm running, or will be, with some things tucked in my heart that I haven't even talked about. And that's something probably on next week's show that I'll unpack. But for now, on to today's show, a great program with great guests, two nuns, spunky sprinters, sisters from the Franciscan Sisters TOR. Both have been training as well for this race, for the Cleveland Marathon. And before I get to the interview, I wanted to give you a little preview of the process and their perspective. So every week, these sisters write a reflection on social media, and it's called Marathon Mondays. And you'll notice when I talk about that, we'll bring that up. But I wanted to share their most recent reflection. This particular topic is about tapering. And I have to say, for me personally, I appreciated this because tapering is a huge part of the marathon training process. All these things you don't, or I didn't really know about or realize until I got into it, that you build and build your distance. You work up to, in my case, it was 20 miles, but then you don't go any further. You scale it back again. And that's almost harder than going and going and going, because I'm not going to run that distance again until the marathon. And when I ran 20 miles, it was like 2 weeks ago. So now it's all of the mental game and the psychological aspect of your mind saying, well, I don't know. Did you train enough? Did you go far enough? Do you have what it takes? And then going back to relying on, no, I did everything that I could, and I trust the process, and I believe it's going to be okay. And there is a beauty in that. Even though we get so antsy, it's so easy for us to feel restless or unsettled. So that's what Sister talks about in her reflection. So before we get into the interview, I just want to share that with you now. She says this: we are in the final weeks of training for our May 19th marathon. Hard to believe. This is a very important part of the training schedule known as tapering, when we actually substantially decrease our mileage before race day. It seems counterintuitive. Shouldn't we be running more? The first week of tapering coincides, for me, with my annual retreat. It's a week without work. spent in silence, prayer, and a more intense listening to God. This too can feel counterintuitive. With all the work of life and people in need in various ways, why should we take time off to do nothing at all? The answer to all these questions is simple. On the seventh day, God rested. Creation is fulfilled not in busy activity, but in contemplation, where we join God in the rest of the seventh day of contemplation. Our various works are necessary in this life and important, but they are not the point. Just as all of our initiative derives from God and His contemplative rest, our labors all culminate in Him as well, in the fruitful rest that is Trinitarian love. Amen. And that was written by Sister Agnes Therese, who you're about to meet. So here now, my conversation with the Franciscan Sisters, T.O.R. Well, about a month ago, we launched a series about endurance, moving relentlessly forward, learning through fatigue, pain, struggle. Great guests. We were able to connect with Trevor Spencer from Marathon Training Academy. Also, Olympian and Christian athlete Ryan Hall sharing some tried and tested insights that we can apply to life in general, which is what it's about. So thrilled now to introduce you to a dynamic duo of soul sisters, also offering running wisdom as they prepare to run the Cleveland Marathon on May 19th. God willing, I will be there too. And again, the beauty is you don't need to be a literal physical runner to benefit from this conversation, because we are all in it together, running the race of life that God has set before us. And so today, your coaches are going to look a lot like nuns. They don't have a whistle and a stopwatch. It's just their habits and rosary. And what more do you need than that? So really excited. From the Franciscan Sisters, T.O.R., to welcome Sister Agnes Therese and Sister Anna Rose. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Brooke.
Welcome, welcome. So just so we can lock into your voices, can you each introduce yourself?
I'm Sister Agnes Therese.
And I'm Sister Anna Rose.
Great. And tell us a little bit about your order. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear about your journey to the starting line at the marathon, but also right now where you are. I know you're about 10 miles from Franciscan University in Steubenville. Is that right?
Yeah, our community, the Franciscan Sisters Third Order Regular of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother. That's our full name, and it's a mouthful.
You got it out there really good. Like you almost know it, automatic.
Important.
That's all important. That's right. So yeah. I know with your order, physical activity is a part of that, right?
Well, yeah, because we intend to live healthy human lives. And so because exercise is part of a healthy human life, which ostensibly is part of a healthy spiritual life, since we are humans, it is part of our just weekly routine, basically.
So how does that work in your community? Do you do workouts together, or is it just on your own something that you're to do?
It's a little bit of both, actually. So usually it's 3 to 4 times a week that we exercise. And so typically in our schedule, some of those times happen during times of prayer and silence. So on those times, you would typically exercise by yourself or be in silence when you're exercising. But other times it can be fraternal. So sisters will maybe go on a walk or a run together, or we'll play frisbee or basketball together, other team sports like that. So there is a combination.
What made you go from this is part of living a healthy physical life, the body and soul aspect, to I'm going to run a marathon and take it to an endurance race?
Well, I guess it kind of started actually even before either of us were in community, because in 2010, I ran the Pittsburgh Marathon as part of a fundraiser to support women like myself who were hoping to enter religious life but had student loans to pay off. So that it was actually initiated by the Pittsburgh Seminarians at the time.
Is this Sister Anna or Sister Agnes?
This is Sister Agnes.
Okay, so you did this, and then how you felt like, ooh, I could do this.
Well, yeah, so it was always kind of on my mind because our sisters had run the marathon with me. I did the whole thing, and then they ran with me as a relay team that year, and then we did a relay the next year too. And I always thought it was a great witness, like, first of all, just the humanity, like, sisters are people, we have bodies and we run and we, you know, do normal human things. Well, you meet a lot of people at a race that you're not going to meet at a parish mission.
That's right. It's a place to evangelize. It's a mission field, too.
Yeah, and runners are such great people.
Yes.
If we could get all the runners of the world to become fervent Christians and Catholics, we would have this whole deluge of saints.
Amen to that. And so to that point, I know, please forgive me for this silly question, but do you run in your habits?
That's actually not a silly question. I think everybody who... I know for myself, everybody who I've told that I'm running a marathon asks me that question.
Okay. What do you do? Do you have to modify or what do you do?
Yeah, basically, again, because exercise, you know, and just physical work is part of our life, we have what we call an exercise habit. So it is a modified habit that works a little bit better for physical activity.
Like manual labor, too, because it's pretty hard to like scrub a shower in a habit without getting it completely disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's so interesting and beautiful, you know, the purpose of that. And Sister Agnes is on board. I'm going to do this. Sister Anna Rose, then, did you think, hey, I feel called to this as well? How did you match up together to conquer this race, this course?
Yeah, so I actually came into community really like happy to embrace, you know, our way of life of exercise, but I was pretty dead set against running. But I really wasn't very excited about doing it as a form of exercise. I was happy to do other things. And part of it really was through just the, you know, quote unquote, good peer pressure. There was kind of a culture here of sisters who ran, Sister Agnes Trez being one of them.
It was my goal to make every sister in formation a runner.
Sister Agnes Trez entered the year before I did. So we were...
It's almost like a sickness. It's a whole sickness. You just can't help it.
A good sickness. I would agree. It's yes. It's catching, hopefully, and it's addicting in a good way.
Right.
So yeah, I was just, you know, I was seeing other sisters running and, you know, eventually thinking, well, you know, maybe it's not that bad. So I, you know, tried it for, you know, just a few minutes at a time for a little bit in our exercise room where nobody else could see me running. And then as it got warmer, because it was actually during Lent when I first started it. So it was in some ways kind of part of a Lenten practice for me. And then as it got warmer, you know, started doing it outside and just realized that I really, really enjoyed it. It was a way for me to, just be with our Lord, to pray. It was a very physical way to intercede and pray for others. And I just found that I really loved it. And that's just, it's continued. So, yeah, like, I don't know for myself where I actually turned the corner to thinking like, oh, maybe I could run a marathon. But it's just been something that I think has been, at least for me, just like stirring for the past few years. And
okay.
That ended up.
I was going to say that's an extraordinary leap. For myself, I've been running for over 20 years. I've done 6 half marathons, but never really until recently even thought about the full marathon. I just thought, well, it's just too long. You're just out there too long. And I'm slow anyway. And the half is just fine. But then something calls you. And so for you to so quickly say, I'm going to set this goal, I believe in it, is really awesome. And I know that you're taking it to the meditative as well. And I love that you have enfolded all of us. I wanted to ask you about that in this journey because you have a Facebook page, and I know that you're not just doing this to run the race and endure for yourself, but also for your community. So could you take us into a little bit about the mission, raising money for your community, your order, as well as the spiritual and maybe what you've learned?
Sure. So when we thought about doing this as a fundraiser, we knew another local group that had a successful marathon fundraiser, so it seemed feasible. And one of the things that's kind of interesting about being a Franciscan today in the world is mendicancy, you know, being a beggar looks different now than it did for St. Francis. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that's always sort of hard to express is sort of what the point of our life is and why it is that we need people to support us financially. Like, why don't we all just get jobs, right? So it was kind of seemed like a good platform to sort of start sharing about our life to a different group of people. I think both of us have really felt that what started as maybe like, oh yeah, we can, you know, hopefully have a successful fundraiser here, which, I mean, who knows, maybe it will be.
Yes.
It became really a realization that more important than that was just building a community with people. Mm-hmm. And that network of prayer support and of living together as the body of Christ, supporting each other by offering up miles for each other, within our team. We've got, I think, 13 people running with us right now. And just by interceding, I mean, I know a lot of times I'll start my long runs if I'm by myself, I'll just kind of go through in my head, like all the people who I've spoken with that week, you know, who have asked for prayers for various things. And sometimes that'll take me through like 5 or 6 miles.
Yeah. It's almost, at least for me, when there's a Tetris game in my head and all the pieces go into place, I'm able to think and process and pray. So I love the therapeutic aspect of that and the spiritual, the actual physical spiritual act. So tell us a little bit how that works for you. Do you, on the Facebook page, say, hey, I am going out for a run. How can I pray for you? How do we get involved in that activity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's basically just kind of what you said. There's through the Facebook page, we have an event on the page, the Soul Sisters Run Cleveland. So that's our team name for the marathon. And so we post, you know, asking if people have prayer requests that we can take to prayer, especially on the long runs that we do on the weekends, short reflections on things that come to us as we've been training or other things related to training. And so, again, that's just another way to draw people into what we're doing, because even beyond the number of people who will be running physically with us, it's so much bigger than that. And I think that's been one of my favorite things about this, is just really feeling like there's a team literally of thousands of people with us, running with us, even though maybe some people won't necessarily, you know, put one foot on the pavement on May 19th, but it's a lot bigger than that. And even within community, I really do feel like this has been a team effort, and there's just like our sisters are supporting us in our physical running, and we're also supporting them in our prayer. Like they're definitely part of what's been offered up in our training.
In the Cleveland Diocese, the Bishop Perez has been really focusing on the word accompaniment and the spirit of accompaniment, the call of accompaniment. And that's what it is when you talk about community. And that's what our life is. We rely on the support that we have from our community, our family community, our church community. These marathon Mondays that you have, you share the most beautiful gleanings. Can you just offer a few things you've learned along the way that we can all apply?
Yeah, I mean, I can share a little bit about the adverse optimal. I just think that in life in general and with running, you know, we've got an ideal set of conditions that we think are the right conditions. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to have, you know, my family look a certain way. I want my job to satisfy me in a certain way. I want my own spiritual life to look a certain way. And basically, the more we focus on those conditions, the less we actually live our lives. And the more we accept the reality that's given to us from moment to moment, the reality of who I am with my own limitations, and then the reality of the world as it's given to me. So like with running, I might just have a sluggish day that happens. I might have a weird spider bite on my foot like I do right now. You know, like, these things happen. The weather might not be especially good. My allergies might be bad. You know, that can feel like it's against me and like it's preventing me from running my best. But actually, those things that feel like they're against us are for us, because they make us stronger and they make us rely on God more, which is actually the point of our lives and the unraveling of original sin. So what seems like it's in opposition to our well-being, to our good, is actually like a conspiracy for us if we'll just lean into it and not get annoyed and frustrated about it.
Oh, I love that. And the be not afraid message. And this sounds silly, but I'll even take that to the treadmill. I used to dread that. And then having to train for the Jerusalem Marathon so much of the winter, and just for the fact that it was icy outside or unsafe, I would go. And I learned to actually love the treadmill. And so often these things that we just resist, like you, Sister Anna, even running, forget that, I'm not even going to go. And then all of a sudden finding out, not only can I do this, there is something I'm learning and growing and enjoying and benefiting from this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly right. And I honestly, that's probably one of the lessons maybe for me in this training, one of the many has been, like speaking of the treadmill and things that are just not ideal. Like I've also had to do a lot of training inside, either on the treadmill or on the elliptical machine, just because of different physical issues I've been trying to navigate. And, it's been kind of difficult. I really still feel like I have a love-hate relationship with both of our inside machines, even though I'm very, very grateful for them. But one thing, just a particular intention that has really been on my heart as I've been doing this training is really just for people who feel like their lives are pointless, or there's no point to what they're doing, or literally it just feels like they're running in circles and no one sees them. And in a particular way, I think just for families, especially for mothers of young children who maybe feel like they're hidden and their work just isn't bearing fruit. And it's been a particular intention, especially during those like long workouts inside, you know, not seeing anything of the outside, just over and over again on the machine, really feeling like the Lord saying, like, I'm faithful in this, even though it doesn't feel like it right now. And just asking for that grace, especially for people who maybe need an extra ounce of grace to put their faith in the Lord, even when they can't see Him and they can't feel Him.
And the self-emptying, I think you referred to that in America Magazine when you were interviewed, Sister Anna. That is such a great term that I keep going back to. And the long runs, these long miles that we are now putting in preparation as the race gets closer. Anything you've learned from pushing past the threshold of where you previously were? You think, man, 10 miles is great. I'm going to run 10 miles. I'm going to run 12 miles. I'm going to run 15. It really is incredible, especially as a first timer. Anything you've learned from these long runs?
Yeah, just the one thing that's been helpful is just kind of it sounds really trite, but just taking it one step at a time. It's exciting to go out and do, you know, more than I did the week before almost on a consistent basis now. But at the same time, it can feel, for myself anyway, if I look too long or too hard at it, sometimes it feels overwhelming. And so there's, I guess there's a trying to find that balance of keeping my eye on the finish line, which is so necessary. And I don't think I could be doing this if I didn't, in some sense. But at the same time, realizing that Christ isn't calling to me from the finish line as much as He's with me running right now. And that's really been helpful, especially in those times where, you know, switching into, I've never run this far before, and I'm starting to feel it. And realizing that Christ is with me, and also like that it's not always going to feel good. It's going to feel hard sometimes. And having to listen to your body, but also push a little bit more than when the body starts to scream at you that it can't do this anymore. Usually that's not always true.
Don't listen too much.
That is. We've focused a lot on that with this series, that you often quit in your mind first. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Just learning to overcome that. And that is in a spiritual way. It's also just a practical way, the neuroscience behind that, too. So I love that. Anything you can offer about not quitting, about the virtue of fortitude?
Yeah, for me, running has always been such an awesome. In fact, the first religious sister who I really knew well told me that distance runners have an edge in the spiritual life because they understand that instant gratification doesn't really exist or isn't worth chasing. And they know the first 10 minutes of any run are going to be difficult usually. And so there's like instant application to everything else in life. Like the first 10 minutes of prayer are often difficult, you know, but that doesn't mean you stop. I just more and more just having accompanied different people through different decisions and hardships and whatnot, I really, really believe that perseverance, endurance is maybe like 75% of the spiritual life. Like choosing to believe over and over again that God is good, choosing to believe over and over again that He is for me and He is with me, choosing to believe that the people He's put me in my life are here to help me and to keep going it's everything. Mm-hmm. It's almost everything. And so those long runs, the decision to keep going even when your legs don't feel fresh and you don't really feel like going out, and there's plenty of other things you could do, like take a nap or read a book. At least that's on my list. You keep going because you believe that there's something better coming. And that's basically the whole Christian life. I mean, it's not a pie in the sky when you die thing. It's like our whole life is a preparation for heaven, which is self-emptying love. It's just that it's not in a fallen world anymore, so it's not going to be painful.
But the pain, like you said, we can use it. It's redemptive suffering as we apply it to. So there's beauty in that. And speaking of reading a book, I'm curious, as a bit of a running nerd, I'm always wondering what people are listening to. Is it music? Is it a podcast? Is it a book? What do you listen to anything when you run?
Not a whole lot. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty amazing. Really? Do you really not? Or I mean, because I think that takes more of the mental focus. Because for me, I can run forever if my mind is kind of somewhere else. So do you just really not listen to anything, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, it is occasionally, like, I will, you know, listen to music or whatnot, but even just in our way of life, it's not something that we would do on a really consistent basis. So, and like I said before, some of the time that we have to run is during time for silence and prayer. So yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm running and I'm with another Sister Agnes Trez or somebody else. So we're, you know, chatting and talking and whatnot, but not even all the time either. Like, the long runs are pretty long. So even Sister Agnes Trez and I run out of things to talk about sometimes. I think there's a beauty in, I don't know. I just experience it, just being able to be with myself, be with nature, be with the Lord. Like,
yeah, and it helps me, like, not to run away from whatever is going on. I mean, I've been running for a long time. So for me, running has often been a time to kind of process my life, think about things that maybe have been difficult or uncomfortable, you know, really asking the Lord to guide difficult situations, or like, what's my invitation to love here, Lord? And I just honestly, if I'm doing my long runs alone, rosary after rosary after rosary.
That's an awesome use of time, though. And I think for me, and I've talked about this also, it's one of the few places outside of Mass or adoration where I'm really not going to be distracted and be picking up my phone or answering a text or tempted to be on social media or any other number of things that can come through and kind of intrude, where the flow of thought allows me to have some deep work on my soul, deep work on my mind. Mm-hmm. I know we have to wrap up, but I want to know how we can support and follow what you're doing. Are you going to, like, have a GoPro cam or a Facebook Live or a drone following you? What's the plan for race day?
Definitely not. I don't even know what those things are.
Well, we're going to be cheering you on in secret. And I don't know, would you say what are you hoping? Do you have a goal to finish?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, and the other thing is that as we've kind of been training differently, we might not run the whole thing together, which again, microcosm for the spiritual life.
Yes.
Together, but not, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm faster now than I was 9 years ago when I ran the Pittsburgh Marathon. So
that's great.
I think for like a 9:30 pace.
Oh man, you guys are gonna leave me in the dust. Okay, I've heard. I like the phrase. I've heard my friends Trevor and Angie on Marathon Training Academy. They say the marathon is like a mullet. The party's in the back. So.
Absolutely.
So I'll be in the back there, but we are going to be cheering you on. I know that in the lead up to the race, you'll also be speaking at churches around the Cleveland area, and the information is on the Facebook page. Is that the best way to follow you?
Yeah, I would say the Facebook event page is the best way. We also have a page on our website, and I think it's going to be really fun. We're going to be talking about basically marathon as a microcosm for life, and how we all, again, run the race together, but we run it as ourselves, and how that's a good thing.
I love it. I'm looking right now at your schedule, the Imperishable Prize, Lessons Learned on the Road. And you're going to be speaking in Brecksville, in Gates Mills, also at St. Basil's in Brecksville. So that's just a few days leading up to the race. So the Facebook page, it looks like, is Soul Sisters Run Cleveland. But then also your community, your order, has a page as well, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And FranciscanSistersTOR.org is our community website.
Okay, well, I'll be stretching out with you, and that's probably about it. I'll see you at the finish line. But thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for your prayers and your beautiful witness. We're just excited to follow the journey.
Well, thank you, and it's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much, sisters. We are all running the race of some sort, and I think this conversation helps just renew our spiritual fuel and keep on swimming, as Dory says. So please say a prayer for us. If you would like me to offer up a mile for your intention, I would be most honored to do that. I already have a list. It's interesting. I'm not sure yet how I'm going to carry them or how I'm going to look at them, but a list of intentions and scriptures along the way as well for each mile as we go along the 26.2. So please reach out. And my hope is that on race day, to be posting. And again, that's May 19th, to be posting on social media and the updates and letting you know how it's going. But you never know. I can't make any promises. I don't know how it's going to go. I'm just grateful to get to this point. And in the meantime, you can also follow the sisters, as they mentioned, on their Facebook page, on Instagram, and the Cleveland Marathon, too, will be posting results and also on their social media accounts. There'll be race day updates. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, you can follow along on the journey. And so on our next show, that will be it, our last episode of the season before we break for the summer. There will be one episode a month, one in June and one in July, because of course we couldn't go that long without checking in and connecting, because there are some things brewing. The Arise Retreat for 2020, super excited about that. Two pilgrimages working on for next year. One, Lent again, 2020, and that's the end of February, early March, back to the Holy Land with Brother John Michael Paul, as well as Ireland, headed to Ireland with Monsignor Jay Clark, who, by the way, is Irish. Another pilgrimage pal that we've done several trips together with my parish priest, and he's going to be retiring at the end of June this year, but already on his calendar, excited and set for next year in July to travel to Ireland in 2020. So a lot going on, moving and shaking, and want to enfold you in that as well. A big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, and so for any production, video, audio needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you as we stretch out, as we soar, and as we seek to get to that finish line. Until next time, friends, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Cumming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cumminghomestudio.com.